Thank you, Steve. And again, we want to welcome you this morning. And this morning, we're going to try something a little different. We're going to try to put the entire service on the website this morning, since we're using all hymns. So hopefully that'll work. So if you're at home and you're listening to this at some point today, we want to welcome you to our service as well. And glad you're able to listen to us as you're at home while we're here together in person for worship. Just a reminder is we do have two Christmas Eve services this week, 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and they both will have candlelight, so we hope that you'll join us for Christmas Eve service here at 6 or 8 o'clock with our candlelight service for Christmas Eve as we begin to usher in the birth of our Lord and Savior on Christmas Day. Also, just a good day yesterday. We had about maybe 20 or so people yesterday that went packing some food boxes for the community, and we had some fun doing that yesterday. So thank you to all the organizers for that and the individuals that were there for that yesterday. It was a lot of fun being able to pack boxes and to be a part of that, as well as other individuals that went out after that to deliver some good tidings around the area, and you'll hear a little bit more about that at the end of the service that we'll be sharing about that. So thank you to those individuals that are part of that. Don't forget that in the very back, there is a list of the individuals who signed up for poinsettias and who they're in memory of or gifted to, as well as the dove. And then also, if you did not get the handout for this morning, it is back there as well. So this morning, let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship as we look at Psalm 20 this morning. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed, and he will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and we stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May he answer us when we call. And now let us come together as prepared this morning, our hearts for worship, as we pray together. God Almighty, we come before you now in your house of worship this morning. And we come and we want to give you thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We give you thanks and praise as we enter into this special week, the week of Christmas, in which we celebrate the birth of your Son that you gave to us as a gift to offer us forgiveness for our sins. And so we come and we celebrate that gift today and this week and every day of our lives, giving you thanks and praise for the love that you have for us, your unconditional love. We pray, God, that you would be with us as we come before you now, that you would allow our hearts to be open to you, that we bring ourselves to you as our sacrifice and our offering to you today, and that you'd be pleased, God, with what we have to bring to you. Lord, be with us in this time of worship now, that your voice would be heard, that your Spirit would fill us, and that you, God, would continue to walk beside us each step of the way. We want to give thanks to the offering, God, and ask that you would pour your Spirit out upon the offering this morning as it continues to go to meet the needs of the community here as we take the good news of your Son, Jesus, to those who are in need. So, God, we ask now that you would just pour yourself out upon us now. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we'll be finishing up lighting the Advent wreath as Cody comes forward. And then on Christmas Eve, we will light the last and final candle, the Christ candle in the middle, as we celebrate the fact of the hope that Christ is here and that Christ has been born on Christmas Eve. Once God's plan was a mystery, it was hidden from our sight. But now God has disclosed what was kept secret for so long. He has brought it out in light. And the brighter light on this fourth Sunday of Advent may we see more clearly the glory of God and Christ and sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. The psalmist says, with my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations, and I will declare your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. And when Mary was engaged to Joseph, she found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this morning we light the first candle, remind us to keep awake and to be ready. The second candle reminds us to change our way. And the third candle reminds us of the good news that blind can see and the lame can walk. And finally today, the fourth candle reminds us that God is with us. Amen. Now let us stand together and let us sing Angels from the Realms of Glory this morning. Let us join together. Angels from the realms of And you may be seated, and if there's any kids that haven't gone down yet, they can help go downstairs this morning to Children's Church as they continue to grow and learn about God as well. This morning, let us read our scripture from Luke chapter 1, picking up from last week when we were talking about how the angel appeared to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Let's hear what happens this week. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel then departed from her. And let us just sing together, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." So let us pray together this morning. Lord God, we come before you now and we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our ears that we might hear from you today. We pray, God, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Last week we looked at the Gospel of Luke and we looked at how Luke began the Christmas story with how he tells about how the angel Gabriel appeared first to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And how he appeared to Zacharias and said that your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a child, and you're going to name him John. And we find that Zacharias was in disbelief because Elizabeth was of age and she couldn't have children. And if you remember, the sign was that Zacharias could not speak until John was born. That was 6 months before the angel Gabriel gave a very similar message to Mary, in which Mary had a very similar response that Zacharias and Elizabeth had. Now we find that what happens here is that the angel comes to the region of Galilee, and Galilee is a region that is very mountainous. It's very beautiful, but it's very mountainous. The Sea of Galilee that's there is beautiful. It's like a big lake. And everything in Galilee is wonderful because it's a lot of greenery. And it's a lot of just things that you can imagine that you would probably want to go if you want to go on a vacation and spend some time there because it's so beautiful. The region of Galilee. And we find that in this region of Galilee is this little tiny town called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a little town that was hidden far away, that it says that even the emperor of Rome didn't care about Nazareth. That he overlooked it, saying, nothing from Nazareth is going to threaten me, so I don't care about Nazareth. I will worry about every other part of the region around me in Galilee, but the town of Nazareth. In fact, we even hear later on the gospel that somebody says, nothing good can ever come out of Nazareth. Because Nazareth was a small town that people overlooked, where people felt that that little town, the people there, they're insignificant. They really don't matter too much. That what really matters is the other regions in Galilee and beyond. And so we find that Gabriel comes and speaks to Mary in Nazareth. We find that Joseph was well known, that he was not only a well-known carpenter in Nazareth, but that he also traveled around because he did such a good job. And so at this time, we might find out, well, why is Joseph not on the scene? It's because Joseph could have been traveling somewhere, could have been making furniture or whatever it might have been, because his services were on high demand. We find here that this visit to Mary was unique because, one, she was not married, she was engaged, and two, she was a virgin. And we find here that this news comes as a shock to her and to her family because her family had begun to make the preparations and the arrangements for her and Joseph to be married, that Joseph, at that 1 year mark, because when they were engaged in that day and age, it was 1 year you were betrothed and then you got married. That as Joseph began to make accommodations at his house for Mary for that year, and negotiations were going back and forth between Mary and Joseph's parents about, well, what will we give for Mary and what will Joseph give to marry her? Because back in that day, if you remember, that it wasn't like us, where we, as the men, go and we begin to look for an engagement ring and we begin to try to figure out, you know, what that wonderful time is to propose or that wonderful place to propose. And it's not like our time when the men propose and the women say, yes, sure, I will marry you. No, in this day and age, women were considered property. So it was, if you're going to take my property, then you have to give something for it. So negotiations between Joseph and Mary's parents were going on as far as, well, how many sheep are you going to give me so that you can marry my daughter? There were no engagement rings. There was no fancy arrangement as far as pictures that went with the engagement. There was no special time and place noted for it all. It was, you give me this, you have my daughter. And so the negotiations were going on during this time that the angel appeared to Mary. I'm sure that individuals knew Mary and Mary's family very well, just like they knew Joseph. I mean, Joseph is very popular, and so I'm sure they know who his future wife is going to be. And then we find that the news comes to Mary and she is concerned because she knows that people know her, know Joseph, know her family, and she knows what the consequence is if you have a child out of wedlock. And that consequence is that the husband or the person that's engaged to that person, by the law of Jewish tradition, would have them stoned. So Mary is concerned when she gets this news because she's wondering, great, what's going to happen to me? What's Joseph going to do? What's my family going to do? Because by law, I'm not married, and if I have a child, I'm supposed to be stoned. We find that as Mary began the conversation with Gabriel, Gabriel said, it's okay. It'll be all right. And he gives those words of comfort to Mary, and Mary begins that conversation, and Joseph is not there yet. And Mary hears the same words that Gabriel told to Elizabeth some 6 months earlier. You're going to have a child. And her response is the same as Elizabeth's. How can that be? I'm a virgin. Where Elizabeth was of old age. And then Gabriel says that God has found favor with you, just like he found favor with Elizabeth. And then he says that you will bear a son by the Holy Spirit, and you will call him Jesus. And we find here that Mary begins to process and set in. She begins to calm herself. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon her. She listened to the angel's words. Mary listened then as the angel continued to say that your son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. You will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants, and his kingdom will never end. As Mary still is processing and still in shock and still kind of wondering, well, how can this be? She said, okay, I'm hearing you. I'm processing this. And now Mary has to give a response to Gabriel. You see, Mary could have said to Gabriel, I don't believe a word you're saying. I'm not buying it. Mary could have had a response to say, sure, am I being pranked? Is this candid camera? Is this a joke that Joseph's trying to pull on me? Who's trying to get the best of me here? But Mary didn't do that. Mary's response out of all of this is she believes what Gabriel is saying. And we know how the rest turns out from there. Mary could have responded in so many ways that day. She could have said, no, I don't want to be the virgin that has the Son of God. Go choose somebody else. Why me? I have my whole life ahead of me. I'm going to get married. Why does God want to ruin this for me? Why does God want to ruin my life and put me through this? She could have responded that way by saying, Gabriel, go tell God to choose somebody else. But she didn't. Mary was a woman who was obedient. She was obedient to God's call on her life and was obedient to God and what God was asking her to do. Mary said yes. She felt privileged and she was obedient. Mary's response was, I am your servant, Lord. May your word be fulfilled. Mary opened herself up to what God was going to do in her. Mary opened herself up not knowing how things were going to turn out, not knowing how Joseph was going to respond to her, not knowing how her family was responding or the community. She said, I am your servant, Lord. I am here. Regardless of what's going to transpire, I will be obedient, Lord. You know, today, without Mary's obedience, we don't know how this story might have turned out. It could have been a lot different. But you see, obedience, as C.S. Lewis says, is the key that opens all doors. That today when we look at the story of Mary, without obedient servants like Mary, we would not be lighting the Advent wreath today. Without obedient individuals like Mary, who humbled herself and said, "I am your servant, Lord," we would not be getting ready for Christmas this week. Without obedient servants like Mary, we would not be here today in worship together, proclaiming the good news. Because Mary was obedient, we have the good news to share. How many times does God call us to do something out of the ordinary and we respond differently? Instead of saying, "I am your servant, Lord, I will do whatever you ask so that your will be fulfilled." How many times do we do the opposite and we begin to question God and we make excuses as why God can't use us? Mary could have made all those excuses and said, "God, I'm a teenager. I'm too young. God, I'm a virgin. God, nobody will ever listen to me." Mary could have made excuse after excuse, but she didn't. But how many times in our lives do we make excuses after excuses? I know I do. It's easy to do it. It's easy to justify our actions. It's easy to say, "Well, you know what? God will understand because sometimes we're just not obedient, no matter who we are." And sometimes we all need a good kick in the pants, a reminder of the fact of what is your calling and what are you called to do, and that our response should be the same and say, "I am your servant, Lord. I am here that your will may be fulfilled." Mary was also an individual that shows us how God works to accomplish his purpose in life. That not only is she obedient, but that God shows us the individual that God uses, that God went to Nazareth, the least and the lowliest of places. He used a teenager, went to a teenager. He could have gone to Elizabeth and said, "Elizabeth, you're going to bear my son because you're older, you're wiser, you have more experience in life." But he went to a teenager and said, "I'm going to use her." That not only did he got away a teenager, he went to a woman that was engaged, a woman that had real no status in life at all. She was basically an individual that had no rights in the world in which she lived. But we're reminded through Mary, and we're reminded through the scriptures of how God uses the least of people to fulfill his message and purpose to bring the good news to the world. Galilee was a region that Jesus grew up on. It was where Jesus grew up and where Joseph and Mary made their home. It is nowhere near where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. If you take a bus, it is about a 2-hour bus ride from the Galilee region to Jerusalem. And Bethlehem is 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. So this gives you an idea of how obedient Mary was, how obedient Joseph was, because they got on a donkey and they left Nazareth to go to Bethlehem, because you remember how the taxation went, that Joseph had to register. And this was not a 2-hour trek by donkey, folks. It was probably a week or so journey to get there. But Mary was still obedient. That she still did what God called her to do. That she got on that donkey. She rode that donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And prepared herself. And prepared the world for the greatest gift we would ever receive. Mary comes and she gives birth to Jesus. And when they come and they give that time to give birth, there's no room for her because everybody's there for the taxation and registration. And here we find that here's the Son of God going to be born to Mary, being told, "I'm sorry, there's no room. Go out to the backyard to the stable." But Mary still had a good attitude. Mary didn't say, "Why, God, this is your son. Why can't we do this in the heat and the warmth of the inside? Why can't we be born at the Marriott?" No, Mary and Joseph are still humble and still obeyed and then took their stuff to the stable and got settled so that Mary could have that child, wrap him in clothes, and put him in a manger, not with kings around them, not with people coming and visiting them, but with camels and donkeys and cows and sheep, with an odor that was surrounding them of the outdoors. But yet they were so excited to be a part of God's mission and journey. But how many times do we complain about our circumstances and say, God, it's not fair. Or God, you want me to do this, but look at the circumstances you've dealt me or given me. But yet Mary and Joseph didn't complain one bit and were faithful up until the very end. It's amazing how Christmas is a time in which all of a sudden the rest of the world stops. Out of all the months, December all of a sudden changes and everybody seems to be nice to each other and more generous to each other. Where the other 11 months of the year, we're caught up on the hustle and the bustle and people seem not to really care too much about others until Christmas time and December rolls around, and then all of a sudden we're nice to each other because that's what you're supposed to do at Christmas time. You're supposed to be nice to each other. You're supposed to be generous to each other. You're supposed to be kind to each other. But we forget that that was something that Mary lived out for 9 months of her life, in which she obeyed God, in which she and Joseph walked this journey, and Joseph was generous to her, and Joseph took care of her, and Joseph walked beside her, and Joseph cared with her. That her family cared for her, that Elizabeth cared for her. That we're reminded that Christmas isn't something that just happens in December, but we're reminded that Christmas is something that happens every single day of our life, and we're reminded of the story of how Gabriel appeared to Mary and gave her the good news, and how Mary just didn't all of a sudden give birth to Jesus, but it was a long process in which she, in the midst of all her circumstances, didn't change who she was. She was still kind and generous, and so was Joseph. And they were obedient. But I think, lastly, we need to realize that Christmas is a celebration of God's greatest gift to all of humanity. That Mary was chosen to usher in Jesus, the Son of God, to give us all that greatest gift. So that when John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that whoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life." That Mary was an individual who was obedient, and because of her obedience, she changed the world. I don't know if you guys ever come up the alleyway here or see the sign out here. But the sign we have out here reads, "Mary's unplanned pregnancy saved the world." Because Mary was obedient. Mary listened to God. And she allowed her heart to be open. That is why we're here today. We are here today to open our hearts to that Christ child. We are here to be like Mary, to be obedient. We are here to say, "I am your servant, Lord. I'm here to fulfill your purpose." That the Christmas story can be fulfilled through us, the way it was through Mary and Joseph. That we, too, can receive that Christ child, the way that Mary and Joseph did. And that we can go and share that Christ child with others. Christmas is a story in which we see a young teenager who was obedient to God. We see God's love for the least and the lowest individuals, but most important of all, we see God's love for you and for me and for everybody in this entire world, in which He gave His Son, Jesus. The question this morning is, do we see things the same way Mary does? Do we see that we have an important part to play still in the Christmas story? And do we value others as much as God values us? And do we realize it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, how old you are, how young you might be, that God can use you to change the world the same way He did with Mary. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before You now, and we thank You for the reminder of Mary. We thank You, God, that Mary was obedient so we could be here to celebrate Christmas and to celebrate the fact that we are forgiven, to celebrate that we are Your children, to celebrate that Christ child. Help us today to be obedient to You and to Your calling upon our lives. Help us, God, to not just be obedient, but help us, God, to continue to be a part about the greatest story ever told. The birth of Your Son, Lord, and how Your Son was born some 2,000 years ago, but how He was born in us anew as well to give us life and to set us free. In Your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Let us stand and let us sing. Hark, the herald angels sing together. And so as we go our separate ways this week, Keith has a question. Go ahead, Keith.
I want to do a thank gift from the congregation to you there in this Christmas season.
Well, thank you very much.
I wasn't sure the exact right time to do it, but I'll tell you right now before we all leave.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for all you do for the congregation.
Well, thank you guys. And again, thank you for all your support this year. It's been a really crazy year for everybody, and looking forward to 2021 and what God has in store. And 2021 is going to be an awesome year for all of us and as a church in general. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And also on the same note, as you leave today, CUMC has a gift for each of you as well. So as you leave this morning, you will be handed a gift when you leave to be reminded of the Christmas season, but also be reminded of the fact that you are important to all of us. And yesterday we had several people that went out and were delivering these same gifts to individuals who have not been able to come to church, to the kids, to our youth. And so it was a great day yesterday, not just packing food boxes, but for those individuals that went out and delivered these packages to members of our church that have been not able to come, as well as kids and youth, to let everybody know that we haven't forgotten about it. And we haven't forgotten about you, that we're all in this together and we all are the body of Christ. So as we leave this place, let us be reminded of that, to go and share the good news, to be obedient like Mary, and to tell the Christ child. May you go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you. Amen and amen. May you go in peace. And don't forget as you leave to pick up your gift.